Rabbi Kenneth Thamsky was a brilliant, brilliant mind who lived in America, briefly was the rabbi at Young Israel of West Hempstead before making Aliyah. Sadly, he was nifter at a young age, but his drashos were so insightful that I think you could read them years later and still be impressed at how spot on he was and how out of the box he often was in his thinking. I consider it a zchus for me to have given many, many drashos at the Young Israel of West Hempstead, and many times quoting Rabbi Kenneth Thamsky. It was a certain sense of, wow, we're keeping the Torah of someone who is no longer alive. And for that, I consider it a great privilege. So I got his sefer through a friend of mine who got me an old copy since it's out of print. He names the sefer after, or the sefer was named after, the article on Sefer Shmot, The Night of Watching. And in it, he asks the question about Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, what's going on? Moshe Rabbeinu spends this strange night in this hotel. It might be the only place in Torah where we see in the pshat that a person goes to a hotel. He's in the hotel, and all of a sudden, what happens? Out of the closet, perhaps, comes this monster, and it swallows him up. I don't know what's going on. His wife is freaking out. She quickly circumcises her son, throws the foreskin at Moshe Rabbeinu, says these strange words, and everything is okay. And the question that Rabbi Kenneth Thamsky asks is, what in the world is going on here? Now, certainly for you and I, this would be, in our mind, a cause to put a really, really bad Google review on the hotel. Monsters in the closet nearly consumed my spouse, will not be staying here ever again. What happened? What in the world happened in these psukim? Rabbi Kenneth Thamsky says that you only have to look a little bit to figure out what was going on. What Moshe Rabbeinu was doing was, he was saying, I'm stopping. Do you know why I'm stopping? I'm stopping because I'm not interested. That's right. I'm not interested in continuing this mission that you gave me, God. It's not really a good idea. I don't have what it takes. He is paralyzed by fear. He is consumed by his anxiety, and he's not able to go any further. What happens? Perhaps the cutting of the bris of the arla and the throwing of the arla is a certain sense of what happens. It takes a lot to be different. It takes a lot for a person to acknowledge that they're going to give a bris milah to their child. We take it for granted because it's something that is so the norm. But for so many centuries, it was such a Jewish practice. And if you lived amongst non-Jews, you were marking yourself as different. You were going to do something that was going to shatter everything. And so, by doing that, what is she saying? She's saying, we gotta stop this. Moshe, you can't be afraid. You gotta do something bold. I do something different. And by doing that, you're going to show everyone that you can do it, and you're going to move past your fears, past your anxiety, and you're doing it. Why? Because it is the word of God. And so even if you have limitations, you can't speak properly. Even if you have limitations, you're fearful that you're going up against Paro and you're not able to do it. It's not you, but rather it's God that's motivating, pushing you, and really is doing all that needs to be done. And that's exactly what happens. And of course, Moshe goes straight and gets started. You don't have to look past the beginning of next week's parsha to realize that despite everything, it comes all back right away. Moshe Rabbeinu has not figured it out just yet, but okay, he's got time. Have a great day.